From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Well, our connection this hour was made in 2012 in Rochester when parents got together trying to spark change in our community. And if you are a parent, you know how difficult it can be to find time in your daily schedule. Maybe you see something happening and you want to get involved, but you wonder how. Maybe it's related to school start times or the urban-suburban program or debates about school budgets. But getting started is difficult. It's what keeps many of us on the sidelines. And that's where the Greater Rochester Parent Leadership Training Institute comes in. About 5 years ago, it formed to address these kinds of challenges. And today, the PLTI is growing. They're attracting more parents to learn how to do a wide range of things in our community. This hour, it's our chance to hear about the issues they have already been tackling and how they're trying to attract an even larger group of parents to get involved in our communities. Let me go ahead and say hello to all five of our guests here, including some of the current leadership and parent alums. Starts with Carolyn Lee Davis, who is now an advisor for the Greater Rochester Parent Leadership Training Institute, a former director, and moving on to the national folks. Is that right?
That's correct. Thanks so much, Evan.
Well, it's great to have you back here. Also here is Luva Alvarez, who's now coordinator for the Greater Rochester Parent Leadership Training Institute. And if you hear me say PLTI, you know what that is. Luva, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Also here is Rosalind Walker, who is an Institute alum and a mom who lives in Rochester. Rosalind, welcome to you.
Thank you.
And here with us as well is Toyin Anderson Willis, who is an alum, a mom in the Rochester City School District. Toyin, welcome to you.
Thank you for having me.
And Moran McDade Clay is an alum of PLTI and a mother in the Brighton Central School District. Moran, welcome to you as well.
Thank you very much.
All right, Carolyn, it goes back to 2012 in Rochester, but the Parent Leadership Training Institute actually goes back to the early 90s. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. It started in Connecticut in 1992. It's the 25th anniversary with an effort that came out of parents working with leadership in Connecticut to really increase the number of parents who were engaged on a local level, making positive change in their community.
And Rochester's chapter, is it a chapter, it's an organization, it's a branch?
Yeah, we're What's a local site. We're a local site implementing a national curriculum.
It goes back to 2012. Why did it get started here? What kind of happened to lead it here?
Yeah, so it came out of our early childhood community here, actually, and a group of folks there who were looking to increase engagement of parents in early childhood and as advocates around early childhood. And as we were looking at different options, a colleague from Albany said to us, you should really check out PLTI if you're serious about this. We did, and it was way better than anything we had come up with. And we said, let's see if there's interest in this. We held a community meeting, which included faith leaders, school district leaders, local funders, and across the board, folks said, yeah, let's try this. And that's what started it off.
And Luva, it's important to mention to parents who may hear this hour and may be considering getting involved in their communities that if you're going to do this, we're going to talk about 20 weeks, how long it takes, what you do, but also the help that you provide, the support you provide for parents, because a parent might say, I can't even get childcare for a night. What would you say to parents who are thinking about this?
We definitely will say we have childcare for you. We have it available. So if you are interested, you definitely should join the class because we have available childcare and dinner as well for parents. So it's like a family environment at this the training institute.
It's a 20-week program is my understanding. So if you're going to do this, 20 weeks, but how many times a week? Is it
it's
one
once
evening?
A week.
Once
yep.
a week,
every Monday.
4 hours.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, 4 hours. So 20 weeks.
And you'll provide dinner?
Provide dinner
and child care if they need it.
Yes.
Okay. So, hold on. Let's get our other parents in. Everybody wants to jump in here. Toyin, you want to jump in? Go ahead.
No, as we're talking about the barriers that may exist, I just wanted to remind us that transportation is also available for families that might have difficulty getting there.
That's a great point because, again, this is not aimed, and everything I'm reading about this, Carolyn, this is intentionally aimed at saying we are accessible to everybody. This is not, sometimes let's be blunt, sometimes the assumption is that this is for an upper socioeconomic class that has the time, that has the resources. You want to make sure you're there for everybody?
Yes.
Absolutely. And actually, we build the class to ensure that we are diverse across race, income level, education level, and geography. So it's both towns as well as the city.
All right. So parents, if you need transportation help, childcare help, you get the meal. It's Monday night. 20 weeks, one night a week, 4 hours. So that is kind of how it works for PLTI. And as we go throughout the hour, you're going to hear from parent alums who've not only gone through it, what they thought they gained from it, and also how they've started to apply that work in their community. I mean, that's so valuable here. Luva, when did you come to PLTI?
So I joined PLTI. I was the first graduating class of PLTI, and I learned about the experience through my superintendent in Greece. She passed it on to my table and said, hey, this is a great opportunity. I think you'll be interested because you're already a parent leader. I think you will like what they have, and sure enough, I did apply. I went to the informational session, and here I am. 5 years later, still involved in PLTI because what they do really works for the community.
My understanding as well is once you graduate as a parent, it's sort of the graduates who help lead and help the new parents who come in successive years.
Yes, yeah? Correct. Yep, we do. We do. We try to encourage, try to support as many ways we can, you know, whether it's through phone calls, emails, just community support. There's so many things that we do. Once you get in PLTI and you do that 20 weeks together, it's a bond like no other, and it just it's not broken at all. So you do get to be close with one another and then help to support individuals' ventures and what they have going on.
So if you want more information, you want to learn more, you guys have an information night coming up on Wednesday night. Is that right?
Yes, we have one this Wednesday at the Rochester Central Library at 115 South Avenue at the Gleason Auditorium from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. At that location, at that event, we'll have also child care provided and dinner provided as well. That's an opportunity to come meet other alumni, get a taste of PLTI, what PLTI is about. And then from there, you have the opportunity to do an interview afterwards if you're interested. And that's where alumni takes that time to meet and talk with the incoming or interested parents in regards to PLTI.
How many people did you have in the the most recent class of 2016? Mm-hmm. How many people in that one compared to 2012? And then what can you handle? Because there's a few people listening right now. They might be there on Wednesday. What could you handle in the next class?
Yeah, so the class is usually about 25 to 30 people each year, and that's the ideal size of folks coming in. And again, from across Monroe County and from all different walks of life, which is done intentionally to really build the experience in the classroom. So we often have many more than that apply, which is great. And we do keep a waiting list because we want to garner as much interest as possible and then stay in touch with folks for future years. But we would really encourage folks to come out Wednesday night just to hear a little bit more if they think they might be interested.
Central Library, 5:30 to 7:30. Food, child care provided if you want to learn more about the Parent Leadership Training Institute. I want to ask the parents in the room, what brought them out? Everybody's got a different sort of cause or idea or a motivation to get involved. Toyin, I'll start with you. You got involved with Parent Leadership Training Institute when?
I'm also from the first cohort with Luva.
Okay, back in 2012.
Yes, sir.
Okay. What brought you out?
I just came across this flyer on my desk. I still don't know who put it there to this day. But when I picked it up, I read everything that he said, and I knew I needed to be in this class. Because everything that it promised that he was going to give to me to enrich me as an adult, as a parent leader, it just stood out on there. And like, I need to apply and go through the process. So the class is 20 weeks and it's kind of divided in two parts. I needed to learn more about the budgets, how to, you know, read them, how to understand the laws that are built for kids, you know, so I needed that. I was hungry for that. So I did the application, did the interview, and I was approved to enter the first class.
Can I just ask you before we even go further? You said you were hungry to understand the laws, the budgets that impact our kids. Some of our listeners today will say, you know, that sounds a little sort of dense or, you know, kind of a lot to sort through. It can be complicated. It can be not very exciting, but it's important. You know, how come you weren't turned off by that where you said, I have to understand it? Why did you want to do that?
Because I have kids in the community, kids in the schools that I felt that as a regular parent that wasn't well informed or an educated and informed parent to go advocate for them, I didn't have enough to stand up for them. So once I saw a program that's going to help me to be able to navigate the system, I needed to be a part of that. And I had the stuff in my community, like I saw a need in my community, and I did not know exactly where and who to contact to be able to get my project off the ground. So PLTI, this flyer, said he was going to help me do that. So that's why it was important.
But 20 weeks is a lot. It's a lot of commitment.
You're a parent. You are committed. If you're a parent, 20 weeks is nothing. If you're a parent, 20 weeks is nothing. So that the commitment was not a problem for me.
Did you use the child care service at all?
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally. Yeah. My kids grew up in there. They looked forward. They still look forward to being a part of that family, because that's what we are and became, a family.
And how many kids do you have?
I have three. At the time, my younger two were able to attend, because my oldest was over 13.
Okay. And so, again, we're going back to 2012. You live in the 19th Ward?
Yes, I do.
And so, Toyin, my understanding is, you know, you were looking at recreation options, and you're saying, well, we don't really have a lot of outdoor recreation options. I care about my kids. I see other parts of the community that have certain things. We want to have this here. But you decided to go to PLTI because you wanted to understand that process. You didn't want to just complain. Nothing wrong with just complaining, by the way. You wanted to learn more about how it all worked.
Absolutely.
So what happened after you went through PLTI? What happened next?
Okay, as part of PLTI, each participant is required to have come up with a project, something you're passionate about, a need, whatever it is, but it's personal to you. At that time, my daughter was only 2 years old when I went to the rec center behind my home. And I live in the 19th Ward. The fire station provided a water hose that was attached to the playground. That's what the kids were allowed to get wet with. And my daughter was a tiny thing. The pressure was too much for her. The kids were slipping and sliding all over the place. And I'm like, this is not safe, not only for my child, but for no kid in my community. So once I went to PLTI, I told them, my project is Spray Park. We need something safe for the kids in my neighborhood. And that's when I told that to everybody, definitely a big dream, you know, but Carolyn, she's a resource, a walking, phenomenal human being. You know, and you get, like I said, PLT allow me to get connected with the people that are responsible for, you know, getting things done or implemented in the city. So with Carolyn and help, you know, I was able to get connected, like I said, through PLTI with the right people, which came down to the mayor, which at that time she was the city council president. And when I went and spoke with her, you know, I gave her my concerns, and Mayor Lovely was on board and agreed that something needs to be done. And the kids, like I told her, in our community deserves that. And she said, okay, and she helped move that project till it got put in. There's a spray park for the kids in our community.
Yeah, as you probably found out, it doesn't happen overnight, but you finally cut the ribbon on that last year, summer of 2016?
Yeah, last May.
What was that moment like for you?
Definitely, more than a dream come true, but even more than a ribbon cutting, you know, what makes me comforting is watching the kids go through the spray park. That's what puts a smile on my face. To see the kids enjoy what they so deserve. You know, but the ribbon cutting was definitely a wonderful thing. Mayor Lovely kept me informed, kept me plugged in the whole process through, and made sure I was present to cut the ribbon with her. Totally grateful. But it's all about the kids. That was the purpose. That was the whole reason why I did any of this. So watching my neighborhood come together, the city comes together because they have Kick the Violence there, kickball on Sundays, where all different teams from the city come over. Sometimes they, you know, they have music, they cook hamburgers and hot dogs for the kids. They have bounce houses, and families are enjoying this park. That's what I wanted.
I read that the mayor herself was quoted as saying that not only were you a big part of why that spray park gets done, but you understood the process, that you knew how to take that pitch and make it a doable thing, that not every citizen is armed with that knowledge of how government works. And sometimes, again, you got to get down to the weeds, but the mayor herself was praising you for that. That's pretty cool. It's a big, you know, that is a big endorsement of what PLTI does. Yes. And so now it's a year later. How's the Sprague Park going? How's the site going?
Oh my God, great. Great. Mm-hmm. Even yesterday you could hear them over there playing kickball. It's music to my ears. It really, really is. I walk around sometimes just to look at these kids going through this water park. It's amazing. It is amazing.
Toyin, do you also think that having had success there, because, you know, we're going to talk to the other parents who are alums, and sometimes a battle is ongoing. Sometimes an issue takes time, and sometimes it doesn't result in a ribbon cutting, but sometimes it just results in more community awareness. Do you at least feel that when there are other things as a community member that are either bothering you or concerning you, that you're much better able to figure out, how can I attack this as a community member? How can I get involved in a way that may actually have an outcome here, as opposed to just getting frustrated and no one's listening?
Absolutely, and that's exactly what I tell the parents that I still come in contact with, because I do meet people who are frustrated with things that are happening or not happening in their communities and how they feel, and I explain to them, have a conversation with the mayor. Don't just get upset that it's not happening. You might not see it, but get on her agenda. Have a meeting, get in her book, her planner, have a conversation. Don't just sit back. You have to, you know, and not everybody's at the same level. That's why I'm going to recommend and throw PLTI, because 10 weeks of that course mm-hmm. is to help the people that are shy to get your voice. That's the big part of the first part of PLTI. You have a voice, everybody does, and PLTI help you to recognize it, figure out how to use it. So I recommend everybody, you have a problem, don't be a part of the problem, don't continue. Be a part of the solution and try to find the right people to talk to, and not only just talk about it. See if you could help with the solutions, because people like that. When you come to me and not only complaining, but you tell me, this is what I think will work or won't work. Because now you're vested in the changes you want to see made.
Mm-hmm. That's Toyin talking about her experience. And by the way, just based on PLTI's website, which is what, Luva? People can find you online where?
www.greaterrochesterplti.org.
GreaterRochesterPLTI.org. That's the Parent Leadership Training Institute. Just based on, you know, you're wondering, well, what are we going to do for 20 weeks, 80 hours? Well, this is the list as outlined by PLTI. And then I'm going to ask Toyin, you know, because everybody's going to have different strengths and weaknesses going in. And I want to know what Toyin thought was either the most surprising and the most important skill she learned. But here's the list that they tell parents over these 20 weeks, 4 hours at a time. You're going to learn, you're going to become familiar with city, state, and federal law, understand policy and municipal budgets, understand personal history and its impact on perceptions of leadership, thrive and work with diversity, assess and define problems through critical thinking, use the media, speak publicly, use benchmarks and outcome measures, form coalitions and build community, and work with, engage, and engage opposing sides. So for you, Toyin, what stands out among those, again, 20 weeks, 4 hours at a time, there's a lot of different subjects. What was the kind of the weakness that you really wanted to fill that you thought came through PLT?
Being able to, you know, speak intelligently to the opposition. You know what I'm saying? Not coming off with the wrong tone. And not being informed, because you, even if you're on opposite sides, it's still better off if we all work together. If we have a common cause, it doesn't matter on what side we are. If we do have a common cause, we got common ground to come to common decisions. And if kids are involved, that's always a starting and an ending point. So that was it, most of all, to be able to, you know, engage our oppositions and make it meaningful.
Toyin Anderson-Willis is an alum of PLTI who has gotten a lot done already in her community. And I think a great example, Carolyn, of what you hope for there. I mentioned that list of points that you work on in 20 weeks. Using the media, you roped me in for one of those nights. And we had a nice chat about, you know, what does the media respond to? What are they not? So you try to bring in a lot of people from the community that will help them in different ways, it looks like.
Absolutely. We build in community experts like yourself, elected leaders, community leaders throughout Greater Rochester to come in and share their knowledge, their expertise, but also part of PLTI is connecting with the resources in your community. So not only are we having people bring their expertise in, we're building those connections and relationships between parents in the room and those community leaders. And that's part of how we get to the 20 weeks. I very much hear you in terms of asking that question of, wow, 20 weeks is this huge commitment. This actually started out as a 10-week program, and the parents who were in the first courses in Connecticut asked for more. They said, 10 weeks isn't enough. We want more, and here are the other pieces we wanted. So it was out of parent desire who were hungry for more knowledge that this grew to be a 20-week program. And really, what we find is after parents come to the first class or two, they're in it for the 20 weeks. We don't lose people because of the length of the program. They stick with it.
No, it's awesome. I mean, Toyin just detonated any negative stereotypes people have about, you know, well, people don't want to get involved, you know. Toyin just said, 20 weeks, I'm a mom. Hi. You know, like that's a lifetime commitment. Mm-hmm. So 20 weeks, we can do that, especially if you're going to get these skills and you're going to be able to impact your community. If you're just joining us, we're talking about the Parent Leadership Training Institute. They're getting ready for their sixth year in Rochester for the Greater Rochester chapter. Comes out of Connecticut in 1992, but they started in Rochester in 2012. And they have on Wednesday night an information night. So at the Central Library, Wednesday night, 5:30 to 7:30, you can go there. They'll have childcare. You got kids? Yeah, they'll have food there. They want to just at least let you know about what they're doing, and you can perhaps get involved there. So we're hearing from the different alums, or graduates, so to speak, among the parents here. And I want to continue that conversation, kind of just keep going around the table. So let's hear from Rosalind Walker, who's an Institute alum and mom who lives in Rochester. So you got involved with PLTI when, Rosalind?
In the 2014-2015 cohort, the second cohort.
Mm-hmm. And what brought you in?
Again, I guess, actually, someone sent a Facebook announcement mentioning the program. And when I saw the content, it resonated with me because I've always been very active in the schools, long even before I had children. I volunteered as a tutor, math tutor, for many years in the district and the county. And there were a lot of things that I hadn't really learned, and I have quite an extensive education, but I can honestly say I've never had a genuine civics course. Mm. And so when I saw some of the things, and I'm a lifetime learner, so it was just something that interested me, and I wanted to learn more. And so that's what got me involved, and I wasn't sure exactly what I wanted to do. I knew there was a project that was expected to be completed, and when I went in, I had no idea what I wanted to do. And it turned out that I had been working in my neighborhood with a group that had formed out of concerns for some issues that had happened. It's the West Side Triangle Neighborhood Association. And so I decided to use that as a project and just be, I was a leader in the program, but there were things I wanted to document and things, further things that we wanted to accomplish. And so I decided to use that to springboard my project. And so that's how I became involved.
Okay. And again, let me just back up with PLTI. You looked at those 20 weeks. What was the most appealing part of it for you? It sounds like, as you say, as a lifelong learner, you look back at civics and go, I need to know more about just how basic government functions. Yes. Me too, by the way. I look back at our education, and I do not mean to indict our educational system, but I do wonder if the emphasis on civics is not strong enough. What do you think?
I agree. So I definitely think civics should be a part of the high school curriculum.
Or much more of a part, huh?
Yeah, definitely more of a part. And what was great about this is how specific it was. So, I mean, yes, in college and other places you can get a civics course, but to get something, but you're going to get a very general, broad education in it. But this particular course is very specific. City of Rochester, Monroe County, New York State. You're actually going to meet. We met Maggie Brooks at the time. We met the mayor and all the city leaders. We had city council people come. We had Monroe County legislators come. So we're talking face-to-face with them. And that is something that you normally would not get in a, you know, college civics course or government course. So that was important. And again, so we had direct connection. We had those resources, and they invited us to come to them at any time regarding our projects to help move them along. So that was good.
And part of the name is the Triangle. What's it?
West Side Triangle Neighborhood Association. So basically, we are, this program encompasses the area between West Avenue and Chi-Lai to Karen Street. So basically the 18th and 19th, the 18th and 23rd districts of the 19th Ward. So this area has always been a part of the 19th Ward, but believe it or not, I didn't know until literally maybe 5 years ago, and I've been living in my house for over 25 years, that we were actually part of the 19th Ward. So the 19th Ward Association, they do a lot of things in the community, you know, in the neighborhood, but this part that's north of Chi-Lai Avenue was not really well represented. There were no representatives even for the district on the 19th Ward's council. So we changed that. We do now have someone for the 18th and 23rd districts. And we decided to come together and thought it would be best that the residents in that area address the issues that were of concern. So things from traffic calming to wanting a community garden to, I've installed a little free library in that community garden.
Oh, cool.
And also a lot of our projects intersect with other projects that other PLTI members were working on. So for instance, Toyin, who we've just heard from, she had the water spray park installed. But what I noticed last year, and it drove me nuts, is that the children were running back and forth across the street and Grover Street, the people were speeding down the street, and I just saw, you know, an accident waiting to happen and really pushed to get speed humps. So finally this summer, we have the speed humps there to help keep the children and families safe as they go to the water park. So again, all of our projects really do intersect. And we had another PLTI member who unfortunately is no longer with us, but his name is Eric, and he had this idea of a block party toolkit, mm-hmm. where people mm-hmm. who had ideas for their neighborhood can have a block party to help bring the members of their neighborhoods together. And so we utilized his work, and we had a block party in our neighborhood to help, like I said, just bring people together. But also at the time, we were looking to put together a phone tree, a neighborhood watch and phone tree. So yes, we brought everybody together with hot dogs and parties and clowns and all kind of festive things, but we also made those connections and got our phone list together to help with the neighborhood watch. We address blight in the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. It took, as you said, it can take many years to get things done. So we had several zombie houses that we needed to have torn down, and you know, over the 3-4 years, that has finally happened.
Can I just jump in and ask?
Sure.
Do you feel like when you look at zombie houses, in the past, would you have felt like, I don't even know where to start with this? And with PLTI, do you feel like you at least have a better roadmap on mm-hmm. how you want to address that, or at least communicate to government about that?
Yes, that was the case. So we learned, you know, about the neighborhood service centers mm-hmm. and different things like that the city has to offer. So, you know, we did go through the Neighborhood Service Center to start that process, and also, you know, going through the city to get the speed humps, you know, talking to the transportation specialist, Eric Frisch, and others. But all of those things, we learned about those resources through PLTI, and all the different members of PLTI, you know, we find out things and we share those resources. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there was a lot of intersection in many ways. So we just shared information and it worked out well.
Yeah, what great stories. And just totally as an aside, but producer Megan Mack and I should write down, we should have a conversation about Little Free Libraries, because that's cool. I hear about those,
right.
and that's, this is just one example of one of the many things you just mentioned that stood out to me. So
yes.
Just really neat stuff. Listeners, if you're just joining us, we're talking about the Parent Leadership Training Institute. And Rosalyn is one of the alums there, a mom who lives in Rochester. And we're going to get our only break of the hour. When we come back, we're going to hear from another alum, Moran McDade Clay, who is a mom in the Brighton Central School District. And we'll tell you a little bit more about how you can get involved and what you'll learn there. Luva and Carolyn, leadership from PLTI, will help us with that as well. Wait a second. You were a mommy back in 2012 as well?
Yeah, I was.
We should talk about what your project
we
was.
We can.
Here. You know, I know you're just leadership now.
Yeah.
But you're also an alum. So
I am.
These are the kinds of stories that make you you think about getting involved in your community and the frustration people have, absolutely understandable concern about the time it would take or at least the barriers parents face. But this is an organization that very sincerely does not want to put up barriers no matter what your life situation is. And I really admire that. So much more with PLTI when we come back on Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Tuesday on the Next Connections, first a question for you. Have you used Uber or Lyft in their first month of existence here in Rochester? And we're going to talk to drivers about their experience. Is it the kind of economic and financial boost that the mayor and other leaders have said it would be? Is it working out the way it was intended? We'll talk about all of that and more as we examine Uber and Lyft's early impact. Welcome back to Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Two points of business, one not related to the show, and then Carolyn Lee Davis is going to give us, I think, an important reference point as we talk more about what PLTI is doing here. But not related to this program, related to a future program this week. We are looking to talk to people in Western New York who are considering moving because they can't find work. Now, we're going to try to contextualize this with some of what the president recently said in an interview with the Wall Street Journal. He was talking about an economic development situation, a factory essentially, a big job booster that was going to go to Wisconsin and not upstate New York. I think they looked at Utica and Western New York. And his comment to the Wall Street Journal was people in upper New York should think about moving. And he said, leave your houses behind. You know, I know you're worried about those. Just move. And it's, I'm probably not doing it fair justice without more context. So I would urge you to go find his full remarks. But we do want to talk to people who are frustrated with the lack of work. And if you want to talk to us, we'd love to hear from you. You can email me, edawson@wxxi.org, edawson@wxxi.org. You can email our producer, Megan Mack, mmack@wxxi.org. Now, related to the Parent Leadership Training Institute, Carolyn Lee Davis is, first time I met her was, I think, through the Children's Agenda. Are you still doing policy work as well?
Actually, at this point, I'm fully focused on the parent leadership work, but policy is obviously, from everything we've already heard.
Is like in your DNA, isn't
it? Yes, exactly. It's always a part of what we're doing.
And I know you want to talk about evaluations and data and you know, understanding some of these metrics. So go ahead. I would love to hear about this.
So thanks. So as you say, I'm a huge data person. And so, of course, one of the things for me when we were initially looking at PLTI and what's continued is knowing what evaluations have found. So what can we say in addition to the great stories we've heard? Do we know that actually comes out for PLTI in terms of outcomes? And what's great is that PLTI has had a national evaluation done for years, over a decade, by independent outside evaluators who have evaluated the program. And they look specifically at three different areas. They look at knowledge. So how do parents who go through PLTI increase their knowledge around both civics as well as those parent leadership skills? They look at skills. So how are parents building their public speaking skills and building the range of consensus building skills and all the other skills that are built in PLTI, as well as how do activities change? So when you get out of PLTI, what changes? What changes in your life as a result of this increased knowledge and increased skills? And what we've found is that in settings in cities, in suburbs, in rural settings, we're in a sovereign nation, the Wind River Indian Reservation out in Wyoming last year, started in Australia, and in evaluation, what we found is that there's increases in all three of those areas, significant statistical increases that last for parents and that we see really impacting how they change their lives on a weekly basis. So just a couple of data points from there. Parents are much more likely to reach out and connect with a public leader as a result of being in PLTI. When there's something going on in their neighborhood, in their school, in their community, they reach out to the associated leader to try to make change around that. They're also much more likely to work with their neighbors around coming up with a solution and much more comfortable in working with difference. We talked a little bit at the beginning around the diversity of PLTI and the way we build that in. I think we see always lots of examples, and certainly right now, of folks not always getting along different lines. PLTI is not about getting everybody to agree with each other, but what it is about is getting people to be able to respectfully enter that discourse when they do disagree with each other to try to make productive change. And we see outcome after outcome that supports that happening. Consensus building skills go up, community organizing skills go up, advocating, showing up at public meetings and speaking at public meetings becomes much more a part of people's lives after after they're in PLTI. So I just wanted to mention the outcomes and the evaluations that are in place so that we know that we're having an impact in communities and with parents' lives.
Let me ask Toyin to follow up a little bit on some of what we just heard from Carolyn was consensus building and that kind of outreach. You mentioned the importance of understanding the quote-unquote opposition. And sometimes that doesn't happen. People get frustrated. They don't really want to engage much. They want to state their position. And you know, we don't always see that consensus building. So can you tell me a little bit more about why you think that's valuable, you know, for what you've learned in PLTI?
I believe that's valuable, even though you say we want to state our point and disagree, because I just still believe that as people, no matter what our stance is, it's always something that we could always agree on. I believe that, or we could always agree to disagree. So I'm like, I know we come from different aspects, but for PLTI, especially so, you know, so important that we understand that it's important that our kids get the best education, best communities to live in, everything. I've never met one individual who does not believe in that.
Absolutely. They want kids. We all want the best for kids.
Absolutely.
Sometimes we believe in different routes to get there.
Absolutely.
But what you're talking about is that common ground that respects somebody who may disagree.
Absolutely.
That's a beautiful thing. And by the way, it's obviously totally worked for Toyin. She's gotten a lot done already. I want to turn to another mom who is an alum of PLTI. It's Moran McDade Clay, who is a mother in the Brighton Central School District. And why don't you make sure you stay right on that microphone for me, because I want to hear the story clearly here. So you got involved with PLTI when, Moran?
In 2012, and I was a member of the first cohort as well.
Okay, and how did you get involved? What happened?
I had, prior to being a parent in the Brighton School District, I had four children in the Rochester City School District. And I had been a parent leader at the school that all four of my children attended the same school. And I was a parent leader at school 12. And during those years, I'd run a couple of different leadership events that were related to advocacy for the school. School board candidate forums prior to the primaries for the school board elections and other events like that. I certainly hadn't, and I was also a pretty active attendee at school board meetings. And I knew I needed to learn a lot more about the process, but I also think there's a lot more work to be done, and I really felt that I was really interested in engaging my peers and other parents in developing awareness and understanding about the process. And so I realized we made a difficult decision to move to the Brighton Central School District and to move our home. And at the same time, I realized that I really had to continue this this commitment to this idea. And so PLTI kind of popped up in there, and I recognized that they'd be a really good structure for continuing that. And it absolutely, I can't say enough about it. It is absolutely proven to be so. And I ended up developing a project the year that I was involved around school board evaluation, citizen evaluation of the school board, and engage community members to participate and attend school board meetings over a period of time. And that was the initial project. And then it kind of, since then, I've done a lot more related to advocacy and legislative advocacy in general. But
all right, so let me go back to the school board. So how should we evaluate the school board?
I looked at a couple of different models. There wasn't a lot at the time for me to build on that wasn't more self-evaluation. So basically a school board member, you know, looking at evaluating their own role. But I had a lot of good help and lots of different people, including, you know, the kind of the content experts that PLTI helps bring in. But I think what PLTI really teaches you is that you're so much stronger, which with the breadth of experience that your group can offer, which contributes to the diversity factors of the group. I mean, it's remarkable. The group can sit there and start chatting. And we'd had lots of conversations about the spray park in that group, how to get moving. And so it does teach you a lot of, I think, really, really good, you know, humility might be the wrong word, but the concept of engaging help, broadening your perspective, and making it better. So I did do that. I worked with these models that were more self-evaluation and kept narrowing it down. I tried a couple of pilots, kept refining it. I ended up not ultimately fully launching it, but I think it's something that, as Carolyn always reminds me, it's always there. We can continue to keep, and I think it will be something that will evolve again. But It was essentially based on the standards and the school board's objectives. So it was very specific to the Rochester City School District and very specific to the strategic plan for the Rochester City School District. So it was really challenging people to kind of, but it was also designed to be done where you could, I could have you, Evan, come to the meeting, hand you the flyer, have him do the papers, and you could do circles about different things. It also evaluated attendance. It had a lot of different markers that were just basic standards of you know, performance.
Okay. And you said you've also moved into sort of looking at some legislative issues. Tell me a little bit about that.
You know, I think overall the New York State budget process, it's a very large statement and like big answer, but it's tough. It's tough for every school district in this state. There's almost 700 different school districts in this state. One of the things I certainly learned coming from the Rochester City School District, which is one of the big five in New York State, Buffalo, Rochester, Syracuse, Yonkers and New York City are all funded differently from the rest of every other municipality in New York State. And so it was a bit of a learning curve for me to go to a smaller town and understand the school budget process and how that works across the New York State picture. So that was also a huge part of PLT. I was a huge help with navigating that process and really understanding how you can be supportive, how you can advocate for students across multiple municipalities.
Let me ask you on that score, Moran. I think this is an important moment in this conversation, because what you're talking about is how difficult it can be to understand the budget process, how it works. I don't know if it's fair to ask you if it's intentionally designed to be opaque for citizens, but it feels that way at times. And what do you say to parents who may be just as frustrated as you because they feel almost walled out of the process, not involved, or it's just inaccessible?
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. And I think a lot of our New York State legislators, not necessarily, I mean at the state level at Albany, lots of different people that I've spoken with over the years talk about how complicated the funding formula is for New York State. It is complicated, and it is frustrating, I think, for a lot of people, a lot of policymakers, a lot of different people. You know, my advice would be that there are lots of good people that help to distill that. You know, I started following a couple of different people in terms of New York State news reporting. And in addition to that, I think you really have to start going to the budget meetings that your school district offers. There's almost always a budget presentation meeting. And honestly, most of our administrative leaders, I think, and we've got a lot of them that come to the PLTI meetings, do a fairly good job of distilling that process. I think the worst thing you could do is expect yourself to master it and have to be able to repeat it. I'd have to look at my notes here to re-describe what I've been working on in the last year and a half if I had a conversation with Luva or with Carolyn right now, because it is complicated. But I also think expecting yourself to be able to just roll it off your tongue all the time is probably too much. Instead, work on the simplification and the general concepts of the budget idea. And go from there.
We had one day we talked on the show about state funding formulas and about foundation aid, all of these issues that are central, absolutely core. And I try to do a good amount of homework for this program, and certainly the producer does even more than I do. We try to get ready. And afterwards, I heard from somebody who, in a private conversation, somebody in state lawmaking, called and said, you know, I don't think you presented it fairly. I said, I begged you to come on this program and talk about that. Come on and explain. If I'm getting something wrong, explain this. Well, we don't want to do that. So it can be frustrating even for those of us who spent a long time studying it. And I just have so much admiration for parents who are saying, look, I have to know. I have to get involved here.
Well, I think I got involved, but I also got involved. You know, one of the things PLTI teaches is not to do it alone. And I actually think the perseverance that a lot of these parents have had, you know, is the ability to have a sounding board of patient people that are saying, hey, you know, speed humps take a long time. You're doing a good job. Just hang in there. I mean, I think of it a lot like the way you do parenting, right? You have a carpool when it's really overflowing on your capacity. And I think PLTI does that on the level of how you can continue to persevere and advocate, not fatigue. You know, it's really easy to fatigue and this particular climate in particular, to feel very like that you're trying so hard and nothing's moving, nothing's happening. And I think PLTI provides an enormous structure and a sounding board for that for parents.
What was, before I turn back to the organizers on the other side of the table, for you, all those different points over 20 weeks, you know, whether it's public speaking, working, understanding policy, municipal budgets, using the media, public, you know, all these different things, coalition building, what stood out as most valuable to you?
I think building community, opposing sides, diverse, a breadth of understanding, and really actually how to create a community voice. That, for me, that's the one I kind of wrote down. Understanding, and actually not even creating it, but actually drawing from it to understand what the community voice is. PLTI does a really good job of making you think about your personal objectives, what you're bringing to the table, and what everybody else at that table can also bring that is of significant value. And to me, it helped diplomacy. It helps with a lack of, you know, you're not as myopic or selfish in your thinking. It's definitely a way to grow. And it's also really a way to have a greater understanding. And one of the, you know, the great things is, you know, everybody that's there is a parent or a caregiver or a grandparent. And everybody's, you know, nobody, you don't need a degree to care. And that's really what that equalizer is across the table. And I think, you know, it teaches you to value what people bring. And they bring a lot.
Well, Luva Alvarez, who is the coordinator now for PLTI, was... is also an alum. And why did you get involved in the first place, Luva?
So I got involved because I was always a parent leader. I found myself in that position when I had my kids. I figured, you know, once I had my kids, I knew I wanted to be an advocate for them. So I always had that goal to make sure that I advocate for them. And it's important to be a parent leader. It's important to speak up for your kids. It's important to be involved. It's important to know the ins and outs of what's going on in your child's school on an everyday basis. How could you not want to know that as a parent? You know, what's happening in the classrooms, what's happening, how they budget their stuff. You know, how does that affect your child? How does that affect teachers being let off and not, you know, go on to something else, a new position or whatever like that. So I wanted to know those things. And so I thrived on being involved from once my kids hit school, I was involved in that sense.
What did you take out of PLTI and try to apply in your own community?
So for me, I'm a PTA president at Longwich Elementary School, and I've been doing that for years. I'm also involved in many of the superintendent's committees that they have, that they ask for parents to be involved. What I got out of it is just being part of the solution and not the problem, right? And so for me to sit at home and be complaining and saying this is not happening didn't make any sense to me. It just didn't. I needed to be out and I needed to be sharing or hearing, and then also encouraging other parents to do the same thing as well. You know, don't be part of the problem. So I learned from PLTI to be community-based, you know, community-driven, to rely on people in my community to help out. You know, like Toyin said, you know, just finding out who you could talk to. It's amazing what PLTI, how that does. You know, like I know one thing and I share with Roslyn, and Roslyn know one thing, and it becomes the steps. It just keeps growing and growing and growing and growing. And then all of a sudden things are getting done. And I think it's just PLTI gives you that opportunity to do that, you know, to rely on people in your community to get, because you can't do everything alone. You just can't. So that's what it does for you.
I also look at this, Luv, and I think about these conversations this hour. I think about the values that PLTI has stated clearly, that you want it to be accessible for all parents. Mm-hmm. It's intentionally diverse, that it is not just people of privilege who have the time, mm-hmm. because sometimes the public policy discussions, the community discussions, the debates, and the decisions get made by people who have all the resources. And mm-hmm. it sounds to me like PLTI is very, very intentional in saying, you know, that's not fair, and we cannot allow our society to exclude voices.
Yes, that is definitely true of the 20 weeks from day one, from the retreat. The minute you hit the class, you hit it running, that's what you see. It's not about your status of money or what you have and what you don't. You have a makeup of so many different people that's dynamic in the classroom that it's beyond, I can't even explain, it's priceless. You know, it's beyond it. And what happens is you get to learn from each other and you get to really see that we all have a common goal, and it's to better our children, you know, whether you have money or you don't, but we all have one common goal. So you remove all those barriers of what you think I have and what I don't have and what you don't have, and it's all about learning and becoming better change agents in our community, pretty much.
So Wednesday night.
Wednesday night.
Tell us what's going on Wednesday night.
So Wednesday night is called the Taste of PLTI. That's where you have the opportunity for members of the community, whether it's parents or caregivers, to come in and learn more about what PLTI is about. We will have dinner. And I want to reiterate that we're just not going to have child care. PLTI is not about child care. PLTI, we have something that's called a CLTI, which is the Children's Learning Institute. And that's a parallel to what PLTI is. So what is happening is that you have parents who bring their children on a Monday night. They come in and they have the opportunity to have the same kind of a course, but on their level, about public policy, public speaking. So we build on leaders from a younger age. So it's not just like child care, come and do coloring. No, it's about where the kids are learning, have literacy component part of it. So it's all put together. PLTI just does that strategically. You know, it's amazing how CLTI works for the kids. My kids didn't have the opportunity to do it, but I know other people's kids have, and they enjoy it. Because the kids get to learn about leadership at a young age and how they could be better citizens in their community as well.
All right, so you're online where?
www.greaterrochesterplti.org, and that's this. And Wednesdays is the Taste of PLTI at the Rochester Central Library at 115 South Avenue at the Gleason Auditorium. And we're looking forward to seeing many parents out there. We encourage you to come out and learn more. If you're not able to attend, feel free to go on the website. You could get more information there. You could download the application as well. And if you want to contact me, you could contact me at luva.alvarez@plti@gmail.com as well.
All right, it's Greater Rochester, PLTI.org. 20 seconds. Carolyn, since you're working on the national level, is this model traveling more? I mean, are we going to see even more communities adopting this kind of model?
Absolutely, Evan. We're already in 13 states, and as I mentioned before, one sovereign nation, Wind River Indian Reservation, and that is just continuing. We just had a national training in Denver with two new sites coming on and a couple of new states, and we're just going to keep growing because parents across the country want these skills and knowledge and want to be part of the positive change.
All right, Luvi, can I come back and hang out with you guys and
talk
media interaction as well?
Yes, you
can. I enjoyed that when Carolyn called me the last time, and twist my arm a little bit and I'll be happy to come do it. Because I know how even dealing with the media can be a bit of a bear. Mm-hmm. And I just respect what everyone is doing. Our thanks to all the parents here for sharing their stories. Thanks to all of you. Congratulations on the success that you've had. Luva, thank you.
Thank you.
Good luck with you in the coordinator position. And Carolyn, always nice seeing you as well. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much, Evan.
Thank you, Evan.
Our thanks to Rob Braden, the engineer. Megan Mack is the producer. I'm Evan Dawson. Have a nice afternoon, and we'll talk to you Tuesday on member-supported public radio.